The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
All right, it's going down. We're going live tonight in studio down here in Southern California in K-Wave Studio. I got Garrett Beeler in the house. Garrett, it's been a minute since the last time we were hanging out.
I know. I can't believe how long it's been, but it's flown by. Great to be here with you again tonight. Dude, thanks for having me.
It's crazy how time flies.
I know, especially with the four-kid dad life.
For real.
No
joke. For
real. That's a different level. That
is
a different level.
So check this out. I'm going to open up the phone lines tonight to take calls, Garrett. I'm going to give out the number, but I want to plug a couple of things because the Whosoever's has some exciting news to release.
Nice.
And you have some exciting news to release about your church.
Yes.
So this is great stuff. So check it out. Everyone that wants to give us a call, we're going to be taking questions about faith, life, whatever. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll encourage you. We'll lead you to the scriptures. Or you have a comment, whatever it is. We want to hear from you. Hit us up on the cell phone, but actually at the studio. I have Garrett Beeler. He's the pastor of City Church Irvine.
Yeah, Vision City Church
Vision
in Irvine. Yeah, we're right off of the 5
Vision City
in between Culver and Jamboree. And believe it or not, man, it's going to be 8 years in January for our church since we planted it, and it is going great. I mean, coming out of COVID, coming through all of that, the church has been stronger. It's been more refined, and we're just blessed. I mean, the Lord is doing a great work in the city of Irvine. I mean, we're surrounded by these, you know, cookie cutter neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even like a plant that's out of place, it would seem. But there's a lot of people that need Jesus. And so it's been great. We meet at Orchard Hills School Auditorium right off of Culver, and the main cross street is Portola. So people coming on the backside can get off on the toll road in Portola, or you can come up Jamboree from the 5. And services are at 10:30 in the morning. Childcare, we have Sunday school, worship. Right now we're going through 1 Timothy. So it's been great.
Yes.
Really good.
We were there when you guys were outside, but now you're actually in the building.
Yeah. Yeah, we're back.
You're back in the building.
That's
the news.
So we didn't know if we were even going to be back at all at that area, with the school district, but the Lord opened a door for us. And so we're back firing, and it's great.
That was the last time you were here, actually. You were going to find out.
Yes.
You told me after, hey, we're going to find out the good news. Like Monday or something.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. So we found out the good news. Well, we found out the news, and it was good. And so if anybody wants to check out the church, they can go to visioncitychurch.com or look us up on Instagram, Vision City Church in Irvine. And we'd love to have you come and visit. But it's been great, Ryan. Like, honestly, we're still praying for our own church home. I mean, we really need our base of operations.
Yep. Yep.
Right now, we rent from a school district, but we're blessed to be where we're at, and the Lord's doing a great work.
Remind me to actually talk to you after. I know a guy.
Great.
Yeah. So, hey, and this, I actually just met a guy.
Cool.
That has several properties. Hey, check this out. So a lot of you guys that don't know who Garrett Beeler is, he used to be the pastor here at Calvary Chapel. Monday nights. You guys would hear him every Monday night live. Right when I first gave my life to the Lord. I think it's important that I like to plug this, Garrett, because God used you again in a very powerful way when I first gave my life to God. And why it was when I first gave my life to God is because I was looking for a church, somewhere that I could connect. And, like, you know, kind of like the age demographic where it was just more like, you know, all eight, not old, but just kind of like a cool, like a younger kind of demographic. And I was looking for a pastor that spoke my language, but that taught the Bible, that would break everything down. And I would hear it on K-Wave and people would be plugging it. And I showed up. I didn't know you. And I started going. And that's where I started going to church, and I called that my home. And you broke down the scriptures. You're an amazing Bible teacher. You're seen all kinds of people get saved. You're an evangelist. And then God just used you in a big way here at Calvary Chapel. And then obviously that led to launching your own church. So, you know, I talk about this in my book as well, about how God used you in that whole thing. And so check him out. Go to his website. Check out his studies online. Amazing Bible teacher. You're like younger.
Yeah, I know. We kind of transitioned out of the young cool guys.
I've known you for like 12 years, though. So.
I know. Well, I was actually thinking, I remember the first time I met you when you came back to the green room and you introduced me to somebody, but you said, what's up? And then I remember right before the Whosoevers were the Whosoevers, you and Sonny came out on a Monday night. And we did it like this first, like, whoa, guys do interviews at church? It was like the weird thing back then.
Yeah,
you guys were there at the main sanctuary, and we interviewed you guys, and that was a long time ago.
I remember
that. I forgot about that.
Yep.
And so, you know, the Lord has done some great things. I mean, and then look at us now. Married, four kids, doing ministry. God's been good to us.
He really has. I'm excited to have you in here. I was stoked when Lucas told me,
I'm glad it worked out.
Garrett's coming in tonight. I'm like, awesome. I've been running so fast just in life that, like, you know, that's why I have people organizing, you know, getting all the guests, bringing everyone in. And then I literally checked them, you know, I had to check them. Like, who is coming tonight?
Yeah.
Because it changes every weekend, you know? So I'm going to give this number out one more time. 888-564-6173. 888-564-6173. So I'll just throw out a crazy question. You know, are we living in the end times, or is there much more to come? You know, is this the time where God is really shaking up the church and seeing who are his true followers are, or what is God doing during this time in our lives? Is he preparing us for a great work of the Holy Spirit that he wants to do around the world? Like, these are the kind of questions that we could talk about. I mean, when you look at the news and you watch everything that's going on, you know, I was just texting, my friend last night, and I'm like, you know what's so interesting? Because we used to send each other, they were called conspiracy videos, you know.
Yeah.
And we used to send each other these videos, and the stuff that you would see, well, basically all the stuff that we used to watch, the majority of it has actually come to pass now.
Right.
And I don't even watch conspiracy videos anymore. I'm talking from like 10 years ago. Now I don't even have to watch conspiracy videos because they've all come true pretty much. And now I just watch the news because it happens so fast. There's not even time for them to put out a conspiracy video because things just keep happening.
No, they are. They are. And I'm actually it's crazy because when you see all the things that are happening in the world, you're going, you've got to be making this stuff up.
I know.
Like, is this some kind of story, like some movie that I'm watching and people are living it in real life? I mean, and things are getting crazy. You know, like when you look at Australia. New Zealand and Canada and all this stuff. And then even what's happening in the United States, you're like, you got to be kidding me.
It's, you know what, dude? I mean, seriously, like, because Crystal, you know, my wife, I could take a lot of crazy news. Just, I don't know, because I mean, we meet with people, we counsel with people, and we hear some pretty, you know, gnarly, intense stuff. So I'm able to kind of shake it off and I'm just more focused on pointing to God and not like trying to be affected by it. Yep. Or some people get more affected by what they see and they hear. But yeah, the news, you know, I was just telling Crystal, I'm like, Crystal, this is such an interesting time because she didn't grow up in the church necessarily. Like, she was around, but she was, you know, grew up Catholic, but she wasn't studying, like, you know, Revelations and stuff like that, or, you know, Daniel or Ezekiel and stuff like that. So she didn't know really Bible prophecy. So what I was telling her the other day is, I'm like, you know what's so interesting is, even though when I wasn't walking with God, and even when there was a time when you kind of walked away from God, but we grew up in Christian homes and in Calvary Chapel, so they taught the Bible. We knew about the end times. We knew about the Antichrist and the birth pains. So now what's so interesting for us is I feel like I'm more like, dude, this is kind of crazy. Like, it's actually the stuff we were reading about.
Yeah.
It's like lining up. We're not saying like, it's go time. This is it.
Yeah, but it's crazy. I mean, for so many years, people thought that the Bible was crazy. Like, some of the end times, like what? I mean, do you remember like the old 1980s Left Behind movies and things where the guys would have giant barcodes on their foreheads and all this? And they're like, who's ever going to do that?
Yep.
That's ridiculous. But we didn't have the technology or the wherewithal to think that, hey, you can put all of your information on a speck of sand and put it on your right hand or on your forehead, and it'll have your medical records, it'll have your driver's license, it'll have your passports, it'll have your vaccine records, you know? So you can travel. So it's crazy. Like, what's happening now?
Yeah.
You know, you're right. It is lining up. And who would have ever thought Because we know what the Bible says, that the Antichrist will come to power. Mm-hmm. And there will be a one-world currency, a one-world government, and there will be some pseudo-one-world religion of mm-hmm. some sort, how religion will be melted into this one thing, where eventually the Antichrist will declare himself to be God. And who would have thought that this, you know, mark of the beast that you would take, you know, to willingly take later on in the future would be primed through these vaccines. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that crazy? I mean, you know, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't travel, you know, you can't go to school, you can't do any of these things unless you have this one thing, right? And so, and they're forcing it, and they're arresting people, and they're shutting things down, the government, and, you know, it's just a preview of the things to come. It's very exciting to see biblical prophecy begin to be fulfilled.
And I'm gonna say this for the record. We're not saying the vaccine's the Antichrist. So
no, we're not.
Relax. We're saying that.
Yeah.
We're just saying the conditioning. You know, it's like if you go to jail, you become institutionalized to that format. And, you know, things are being institutionalized. Like, you know, when you're, like I was saying before, like when you go through, I remember going through security in a airport. And you would normally just walk through and they would, you know, go through the radar thing. But now they had that round one where you go up and you have to stick your hands up, you have to open your legs and not move.
Yep.
Well, at first I was like, what the heck is this? But then now I'm like so conditioned. I go through, I do the pose without thinking because I want to get through faster.
Yeah.
You just become institutionalized to it. Now, that one world religion the Bible talks about, mm-hmm. you know, in the last days, right now in New York, did you read that article about in New York, they have a place that's going to be opening up that's going to be for all religions to worship?
No.
You didn't see that?
No. I thought you were talking about that. Yeah, no. I mean, I saw the new governor of New York, you know, talk about how she's going to send out her apostles to tell everybody to get, you know, vaccinated. But I didn't see this place.
Okay. I thought you were talking about that. One world religion headquarters set to open next year in New York. I'll send this on over to you.
Yeah,
I thought you were. I thought that's what you were.
I was just saying that's eventually what's going to happen because the Bible says that's going to happen.
Well, guess what? It's happening.
It's happening. Man.
The news moves fast.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. You know, the Bible talks about it being birth pains. You know, and we were talking earlier about having four kids. You know what happens when your wife goes into labor. It goes from like, oh, this isn't good to, oh, I got to get this baby, mm-hmm. you know, birthed into this world. And the pain increases. And so, you know, what also happens with birth pains is that they go from being distant to closer.
Right.
And so all of a sudden it's like, bam, bam. And then it's go time.
Yeah.
And that's what the Bible, you know, what Jesus, you know, talks about, what we know from scriptures, that it's going to be these things that are like those contractions that the world's going to get to the end.
Okay. So even talking about that, you know, it talks about, you know, there'll be wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, stuff like mm-hmm. that, earthquakes.
Yep.
And you start looking at the pulse, you know, and there was a couple of earthquakes recently in different parts. I think one here and then one in Mexico was a while ago, big one, and then something else. So we're seeing all these things that Jesus talked about. But definitely, you know, as I've been just kind of watching everything that's going on, I'm just in this place where I just want to hear the Father, God in heaven, and go, okay, cool, God, like, we're not surprised things are happening. I mean, we get surprised at how fast the news moves quickly. Like, I just told you about the world religion. You can check that out when you get a chance. I just emailed it to you or texted it to you. But now it's like, okay, cool, God, like, we know that you wish that no one shall perish.
Right.
God so loved the world that he gave his son that no one will perish. And we know, you know, the if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's the same in the Bible from the beginning to the end. We know that he always rescues his people when he's going to bring, you know, a judgment on earth.
Yeah.
We see that with Lot's family. We see that with Moses' family.
Yeah. That we're not appointed to God's wrath.
Right. So that's why we, within the Calvary Chapel, we believe in the rapture. Mm-hmm. And so now if we're okay, we're like, okay, rapture, cool. We're seeing the signs of the times. Like, what does that mean, Garrett? For people like us, when I say us, not like you and me in the room, I'm talking about like us Christian believers. Like, how could we be the most impactful? What is the most important thing for us to do? Are we just supposed to hide and wait and hide from the world and stay in our house and wait till the rapture comes? Or what can we be doing right now just for like the common person, the blue collar, normal mom, dad.
Yeah. I think it's a great question, and it's on the forefront of everybody's minds because the first thing that I would say is if you're a follower of Jesus, do not be fearful.
Mm-hmm.
With everything that's in the world, and we'll just call it for what it is, there's a whole lot of crazy out there. There's a whole lot of things to be worried about and fearful of. And God hasn't given you a spirit of fear,
right,
but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And he is aware of everything that's going on. Everything. Like, he sees it. He's not caught off guard. He has everything exactly where it needs to be. And for the follower of Jesus, we can hold on to that. But then I would say, secondly, seize the moment, like every opportunity that you have. Like, you know, my daughter, Ava, has special needs. And so, you know, she has some pretty challenging disabilities. And, you know, my heart goes out for the subculture of families. If you're listening and you have a special needs child, hang in there. And, you know, the Lord's entrusted you with a very special gift. You know, it can be very hard. But, you know, with Ava, our beautiful little girl, you know, she has different therapies that she goes to. Some come to the house, you know, and one of her therapists just last week, a week ago, was, you know, we were talking about technology. And he said, man, you would think with all the technological advancements that life would have been better for people. But he says, honestly, with all the tech, it just seems like we've gotten better at selling things to people and being able to buy things.
Right.
You know, how is
this? And being more busy.
Yeah. And how has this bettered, you know, people's life? And, you know, and it obviously was a generalization because obviously there's been advancements in medicine and all that. But he was just saying for the everyday person that's living life, you know, you have Google and Facebook and like phones listening to what you're saying and then ads pop up to show you how to buy stuff. And,
that's insane.
You know, it's just crazy, right? And so, you know, what happened was I've never done this because usually I'm not in there when Ava's having, you know, her therapy with her teacher. I just said, you know, the Bible talks a lot about where tech is going to go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we end up talking about how that there's going to be a one world ruler and that there's going to be a one world currency and that all of the information that you need to live in this life, technology is going to advance to such a point where you can have your entire life on your right hand or on your forehead.
So,
and he was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm like, the Bible says all of these things, you know, and so when we thought all this is ridiculous back in, you know, the 80s and 90s and even into the 2000s, some, you know, before we started seeing these huge advancements, you know, now you're going, hey, that's not a far stretch of the imagination to see that, that's possible.
Not at all.
And then it's convenient.
Did you read the, it is when you really think about it. I think it was the new thing that the UN released. I can't remember what the article was called, but it basically talks about what the goal is, and you could read it. It's like their pamphlet of what their plan is to bring people together to do like to reset. Like it's like a great reset, mm-hmm, to reset the money to take care of poverty. Everything that they're writing sounds, you know, obviously amazing. I believe it's a one world government as well, coming together like a whole global reset right now, which is, you know, also paving the way for all the world leaders. They're gonna do the G3 summit or whatever next year in 2020, and they're gonna address it and talk about it. I guess Biden said he was gonna go and join and be a part of that. So anyway, everything is just exactly. Everything is just adding up, but it's exciting because, you know, I'm not scared. I get excited because I'm like, okay, cool, God. Like, how and what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? What do you want to do? And I think right now, where it's almost like we're in the waiting room of a hospital, just kind of waiting, like, you know, just waiting to see what God's going to do. And that's the hardest place to do, is when you're just waiting to be, you know, to do something.
Yeah.
And I feel like God is just preparing. Everything's lining up. This isn't no surprise to God. Like, oh no, what's going on?
Yeah.
He knows. And he's the divine chess player. He's putting everything in place. He's organizing everything for the church. For the church, we're supposed to be the major players right now.
Yeah. So what do you say to, you know, maybe somebody that's walking the fence or that maybe grew up in the church and had walked away? I mean, how would you encourage them with the things that are happening right now?
Well, first of all, I've seen a lot of people that have been walking with God that are no longer walking with God. During the pandemic, I've seen a great, like, falling away. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, right now is not the time you want to be playing games. Because I remember when I was young, growing up at the church, and I'd go out and I'd go party at night, and I'm like, oh, I hope the rapture doesn't come tonight, or else I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, but think about, you know, a lot of people just walked away, and they're just kind of out to lunch. But I want to, those people, I'd say, get back, get, you know, the prodigal son, like God's waiting for you, just get home. Come back, and he has a plan for mm-hmm. you. The other people, I would say that I would encourage them to say the question again. What was it?
Yeah, no, if they're walking on the fence walking with the Lord and this stuff's happening.
I would say right now, the same thing to those guys. Now is not the time to be walking on the fence. Like right now is the time that if you are a true believer in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelations, and if you don't know what it says, you need to find out. You know, just because you maybe not be reading the Bible or watching the news and see the events that are going on doesn't mean it's coming. You know, the future events are going to happen. What God says is going to happen is going to happen. I would get back in church. I would get plugged in. I would start reading. I would start learning. And then ask God, how do you want to use me in this time? Because the most important thing out of everything, we're just pilgrims here on this planet Earth, right? The most important thing for us is to be mothers and fathers, to raise our children, and to point people to Jesus. If we're not a mother, we're not a father, and we are a child, you know, or we're a young adult growing up, the main point is that we bring people to Jesus, our mm-hmm. friends, our family member, and we're examples. And we're placed here on earth to be God's vessel to be used. Like if a vessel could be like a cup, like I have this cup right here, right? Mm-hmm. So this cup is used. I'm going to use this cup to drink water. Well, God wants to use us as vessels for different operations or different tools, mm-hmm. right? Some of us is going to be a megaphone that we're going to, like right now, we're megaphones here, right? Then there's going to be other of us that are going to be watchmen that are here to warn through the scriptures of like, warn what happens if you're not living a holy life and you're not walking with God. The wages of sin lead to death, right? Then you're mm-hmm. going to have, you know, other guys that are going to be other people that are musicians or artists. They're going to use their tools, their instruments to push out creativity that could be used for God to minister to people through art, design, through music, or, you know, whatever God uses you. But the goal is to edify, to worship God, and to be used for his glory. And the most important thing right now is that this is the time not to be playing around. This is the time to get into the Lord's army, get ready, and be ready to move and step out by faith, because I truly believe, honestly, with all my heart, that God is going to move with this Holy Spirit once again in a big way. You know, yeah. I believe that what we saw in the Jesus People movement, everyone always brags about that, which that's a good, definitely an amazing thing to brag about. I mean, mm-hmm. you hear about the stories and
well, we wouldn't be where we're at if it wasn't for that. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. No, it's a thing to brag about. I mean, I meet people all over the world from the Jesus People movement in all different kinds of churches.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know where I was. I was somewhere like in Australia or something. And this guy got saved from the Jesus People movement. And he is a pastor in Calvary. He's not a Calvary. He's in a pastor at another church.
Uh-huh.
But he was an Australian. So anyway, I say all that to say this, is that I believe what they saw back then with everything that's going on now, there's going to be a bigger power movement of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be greater than we've ever seen.
That's what we're praying for, the Holy Spirit to be poured out.
Yeah. Yeah. And the scripture talks about it. But when he pours it out, he uses it, like he falls on people and he touches people's lives, but he also enables, and the Holy Spirit comes upon people. Mm-hmm. Like he fills them, and the Holy Spirit will flow in and through them and uses them to reach people, to lay hands on people. Like we are the, what's it called? We are like we are where the water comes from heaven, flows into us, and then goes out of us.
Yeah,
the conduit. That's the word.
Yeah, no, exactly. And even too, it's the revival in the church.
Yeah.
Where the church gets fired up.
Yeah.
And they're pumped up. And they're like not, you know, one foot in sin and one foot in the church. They're deciding, I'm going to follow Jesus with my whole heart.
Well,
what happens.
Those are the people, though. It's the church people. Those are the ones that God's going to use to go out and do it.
Yeah.
Right? Because who's going to reach the ones outside of the church? It's the church.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it says in Romans. Like, how are they going to hear unless a preacher is sent? Like, how is somebody going to know unless somebody tells them? And so I think it's a huge, huge opportunity right now as people are fearful, people are concerned about the future. People are in financial collapse. I mean, we've seen the backup of the cargo ships everywhere around the country. The supply shortages.
Over 100.
I mean, it's insane. I saw a picture of all these little green dots everywhere that can't get, you know, in. And I mean, so there's a lot of uncertainty, but it's during those times of darkness that the light of Christ shines the brightest.
Right.
And so
right.
I think this show, what the Whosoever's have going and what all these guys are, you know, involved with in just preaching the word of God, it's an opportune time.
Have you read anything about what's going on with those ships, or did you see it online? Did you read about it?
Yeah, no. So basically, from what I understand is that there are COVID restrictions,
right.
So that people cannot process the stuff that's supposed to come in.
So
they're just waiting. It's like if they were circling an airport, if they were an airplane, they were just in a holding pattern. That's what they are out in the sea.
There's so many goods that are just docked. I mean, I heard.
Yeah.
Because my father-in-law serves Dana Point.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Dana Point. So he says that the ships are all the way down to Dana Point now. Because before, Huntington was a lot, like extra ships.
Uh-huh.
Then all of a sudden it was in Newport when I drove there. And now it's down to Dana Point.
And I think they're all trying to get to L.A., right? They're San Pedro.
Yeah, San Pedro. There's two docks, San Pedro and I think another place up in L.A.
No, it's crazy.
Insane in the membrane. Okay, mm-hmm. So check this out. I want to plug a couple things because we are going to be going to break in a minute. So I am proud to announce the Whosoever's has a new film coming out. So we go on tours around the nation. Well, they were all over the world until the lockdown. But now we've been touring the nation. And a year ago, we went down to Montana for Suicide Prevention Month during that time. And we got the tour. We went to some juvenile detention centers. We did this huge skate park. The local news press picked us up. We did some churches. We did some school events. And this was in the middle of the lockdown. We were literally, COVID was chasing us. Like, we were about to go into a place, and they're like, it got hit with COVID that night. And we had to, like, literally, we were going to be there, like, an hour before. Like, it was crazy times. But anyway, we filmed it. It's, like, our last full send film. It's about 45 minutes. It's a short, rad film. It's called The Whosoever's Unbelievable Tour. So get there. Oh, this is what's awesome. Sonny Sandoval, the lead singer of POD, also co-founder of the Whosoever's. This is his first tour he got to come on recently since he started touring with the bands. So he saw what God has been doing on all the trips of people getting saved, people getting healed and all the stuff. So he wanted to come and see for himself. And boy, did he see, and you're going to see what he saw on this trip. And we got Christina, Lexi, and a couple other people. We even took our raccoon, our mascot. He was actually there as well. So you can see him right here in the... he's hanging out of the door. So I'm going to be posting about
this
through our social media this week. But our last premiere about 6 months ago or 4 months ago at our church, dude, we had like probably 1,800 people, something like that, maybe 1,600 to 1,800 people in our church, packed. But everyone loved that film, and this one's even better. And I'll tell you the truth, like I think we're gonna pack that place.
Yes.
Even. We're gonna stuff everyone. It's gonna be amazing. And don't forget the Kill the Noise book. This is for the people watching the feed. This is it. Kill the Noise book, Finding Meaning Above the Madness. This book was written in the pandemic when it first started. This is a tool for these times that we're living in. To everything we've been talking about this show, it will talk to you about it. It will faith build you. It will grow you. Follow us on social media. Book us. We are touring. We have two tours going down in Texas and one in Florida. I'm going to have Head from Korn, Sonny, myself, and some others joining us. So God's moving. We're touring. The Great Commission is still happening. And discipleship is happening at the same time. I got Garrett Beeler in studio. We'll be back in 2 minutes right after the break. Peace.
More of The Ryan Reese Show. Coming up, post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook. Now, back to The Ryan Reese Show.
All right, we are back and it is going down. I want to give the number out. I got Garrett Beeler in studio.
We're going to take questions. We've been chopping it up about just all kinds of cool stuff, right? If you have any questions about what we were talking about, or you want us to expand a little bit more on some of the stuff that we were talking about, did you get a chance to see that article about that one world religion?
No, but I saw that pop up. That's insane.
Yeah, you got to read
that
later on.
I mean, it's almost laughable. You're going, how can this actually be happening?
For
but then,
real.
But then you realize, oh, the Bible actually talked about it a long time ago.
For wow. real, 100%. I know, it's pretty interesting, man. But like I said, just right now, more than ever, I personally feel like I'm in a season where I'm enjoying just to open the scriptures and read. And really just look at stuff and go back and start underlining stuff. I got out of it for a while because I love Bible studies. I just love like listening to studies because the pastor's breaking it all down. It's just compacting. But what's cool is when you read the scriptures, and God speaks to you through that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But when you have the Bible and you're just kind of reading through it and you just kind of underline it and you date it, like when God speaks to you about something in your life, it's such a cool thing because then you can even reflect back like a week or two or a month or whatever and just look back at like what God was speaking and you see his word come to pass.
Yeah.
And I know to people like you and different guys that teach the Bible all the time, like that you're always in the word because this is what you do. But the normal guy that might just be tuning into radio here and there, it's crucial to be in the word though and to write these little
memories. A normal guy. As well. Like that's, yeah. It's so important because you can prep for messages a lot. And if you're not spending your own personal time with the Lord where you're not trying to like, hey, what can I go and tell somebody else
true.
About?
That's true.
You know, it's important to be able to just, you know, sit and read and just let the Lord speak to you without, you know, trying to give anything out to anybody else. So, I mean, it's important.
No, you know what? Actually, I just thought about that because it's been a while since I was teaching Shine like every week. You could just be so on that message where you're teaching and you're okay, God, what do you want to tell me to tell them? Because that's what you're doing when you're studying the word to teach. What do you tell me through this message that's going to hit the hearts? But then that separate time is like, well, what are you trying to tell me?
I know, man. It's like, I wish my faith could grow without having hardships and all these other things, you know? And I think that the Lord prepares you to share with other people through the things he already speaks to you first with, you know? And so.
And yeah. And the stuff that you go through, like God, you might be in this place right now and you're like, man, I've gone through some stuff this year. Like in the last year, I've went through this, I went through that. And what the heck is going on? Well, I can tell you this from personal experience. That stuff you went through, you're going to use it to help people. Like, don't waste that experience of what happened. And is God seeing you through? Like, I'm sure, you know, that song, like, you know, pain in the night, but joy in the morning, you know that song?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of you have experienced that. And when you go through this and you come out of it, make sure you testify of God's goodness so it doesn't go to waste.
Yeah.
So that will encourage people because they're probably in a situation that you've been through and you're able to say, hey, you know what? Hey, right now it feels like you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't know what's going to happen next and you're feeling fear or whatever it is. Listen, keep pressing in.
Yeah.
God is everywhere. He's gone before you.
Yeah.
And if you follow him, he will get you through this.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to add to that. The Lord has not brought whoever this is that may be listening tonight for you. The Lord has not brought you this far to have you fail. Like he's not going to just at this point in your life say, hey, I'm done. And, you know, you're on your own. He said, fear not. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I think that's so huge to be reminded of, you know, a childhood verse, how you can own that as an adult and realize that even in my darkest moments, the times where I'm struck down, I can be struck down and not destroyed. I can be in a place where I feel overwhelmed and the Lord can sustain me even there. And I think that's such an important reminder for all of us, you know, that the Lord will use, yes, even that for his glory and it will work together for the good.
So piggybacking off that, I was just reading this. This passage in Proverbs 2 because, you know, for people that want to know where to read in the Bible, an easy read every day is like you just pick a Proverbs per day. So today's October 2nd, right? So I would read Proverbs 2nd and you just kind of have that part of your devotional plan. But I read this
In Proverbs 2:7, it says, talking about God, right? It says, I'll just go to 6. For the Lord grants wisdom, from the mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense. Oh, man, I need common sense. To the honest. Now, you have to be honest, and he'll give you the common sense. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. So you got to be honest. You need to have integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. So what is this? He's saying, be honest, have integrity, and be faithful. Because if you want all these protections and wisdom, there's a way of life to live to receive that. Then he says this, because I've been trying to, I'm making some very big decisions in my life right now, and I just really popped out to me today when I was reading it. And it says, then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will fill you with joy. Mm-hmm. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. This is the New Living Translation I read.
I love it. I mean, how important is that? Yeah. I need to know, Lord. Like, I need to know that I know that I know. And the word, the Bible tells us that that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. We want the wisdom that comes from the Lord. I mean, that's the chiefest thing. As a follower of Jesus, Lord, I don't know. Please show me. Give me wisdom beyond my own comprehension. You know, wisdom beyond my own ability to figure things out. And he promises in his word, like what James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Meaning, you know, it's weird that there's that little tack on the end. The without reproach means he's not going to smack you on the head and be like, are you stupid?
Yeah.
How do you not know this?
Yeah.
Without reproach means that you can ask God anything at any time about anything. And he'll show you.
Doesn't it say after that passage, it doesn't say something about don't be double-minded?
Yeah. Well, then later it says if you're double-minded, you're unstable in all of your ways, and you expect to hear from the Lord, but you're not in the right place. It can be it's a very big warning. Absolutely.
So if you're not being honest, you're not being faithful, and you're not living right, then you're not clearly following the Lord. So how do you expect to receive if you're not walking? Going back to what you said earlier to those people that maybe aren't walking with God, or the ones that are just kind of walking the line.
Yeah.
Like, get in line, and he'll, like you just said, he'll be a lamp unto your feet, and he'll speak to you. His word speaks to you, just like this passage say, it spoke to me and brought me peace, and it says it'll bring you bring you joy as well. I feel joy and peace at the decision I have to make, because he's going to give me the wisdom, and he's going to protect me and make my path safe.
Yeah, and the Bible is the living word of God.
Right.
I mean, Ryan, how amazing is that? I mean, often, you know, you'll hear people that, you know, maybe have backslidden or walked away from the Lord, and they're like, oh, God just feels so far away. You know, like he's not hearing me or whatever. Listen, God has never changed. He's never moved.
He never left.
He never left. We may have veered off, but at any moment, at any time, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if you confess your sins, say, Lord, I've sinned, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that relationship like that is re-intact.
It's funny. I had someone.
Restored.
I meet so many people all the time. And then it was one of those same comments. Man, I just feel so far from God. I haven't heard his voice. I'm like, well, have you been praying? Do you like read the Bible? Because if you read the Bible, you hear his voice. No, I don't go to church. I'm like, well, no wonder you're not hearing. You're not even trying to hear him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're just kind of like, I don't know. I'm just kind of, I feel so far.
Yep.
Well, faith in actions. Walk by faith. Walk to church. Walk and open up your Bible. Walk to your room and pray. So we got a call coming in from Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. Steelers, what?
Oh.
It's going to take it. It's Heidi. We're going to go ahead and grab Heidi Huck calling from Pittsburgh.
How are you guys doing?
Good. Good to hear you.
We love our Steelers despite last week's game. Yep. So.
Awesome. Well, good to hear from you tonight. What is your question?
Well, right before I'll say my question, but I just wanted to say, Ryan, that you've changed my life due to a certain cable company's high prices. I deleted most of my channels, started watching YouTube. I'd like to say stumbled across your I Am Second video, but I'm sure that God directed me to see it. The next day, I went to church, and I'm really emotional because you have no idea the impact. I feel like I know you just from watching your videos. You have changed my life. I started going to church. I get a Bible study now. I didn't go for 6 to 7 years. I prayed every night, you know, but I gave my life to Christ because of watching you, and you have no idea what you've turned my life around, literally. So thank you.
That is so awesome. And you know what? I feel a little emotional right now, to be honest, because it's so encouraging. Like, as you travel over the world and you're in front of a lot of people and just, you know, living the Great Commission, but it's so encouraging when you actually hear this story is when you hear about the life transformation.
Yep.
And that's the whole thing, is this is why we're always pointing people, like, buy a Bible, go to a church that actually teaches the Bible. And you, it's not, you know, we're not living by, you know, just following all these different speakers and just going with the flow, but it's like, no, mm-hmm. get a Bible. Read, pray, talk to God, and watch your life get transformed. And now here we are. You stumbled across this I Am Second film.
Awesome.
And then now here you are getting discipled, and God has just something cool.
I got to get you to Pittsburgh. We have a skate park here, and you got to come. You know, you got to go to a Steeler game. I'm inviting you. You're coming.
All right.
I gotta get you guys here, but and I just, I mean, I'll be your whosoever ambassador. I'm older, I am a single parent 24/7, and my question comes in. Mm-hmm. Those years I've missed church, I'm very worried about my 17-year-old because he sits in the basement, he games all day. I'm worried that he is like, he goes, I'm good with God. I'm like, he does nothing about the Bible because I haven't taken him to church and shown him, and is it too late? Like, you know, I'm thankful he's not vaping, doing drugs, drinking, you know, because I have a family of addiction. Like, I was adopted into my family, mm-hmm. and from third grade on, my dad started drinking and ruined our lives. And then my brother was addicted to meth and drugs, and I got him off that. Like, I felt like I was adopted because I was the nucleus of my family and had to help them all. Mm-hmm. But I'm struggling myself, and I'm worried that, you know, is it too late? Like, how am I going to get my son to, you know, I don't know how to, if it's too late for him, you know?
It's never too late. It's never too late. I would suggest that you definitely find a location. I know that COVID kind of switched things up in different states. It's different. I mean, you're in the big city in Pittsburgh. So find out a church that's meeting and that, you know, you're comfortable with going to. Make sure that you're plugged in. He's under 18. So, like, when I grew up, my parents said, if you live in the house and you're under 18, you know, there's a requirement to go to the church because, you know, they're paying the bills and they pay for the house and everything that comes along with it. So I would suggest doing that and, you know, not like a forced thing if possible, but just kind of like, yeah, these are just the rules of the house, this is how we're going to do it. And also get him turned on to someone that he likes to listen to, you know what I mean? Like, find out, there's a lot of different kinds of pastors, different styles. Find out someone that,
you know, he sees me, he'll come up late night, he's like, who are you watching? So I
well
feel
there
like
yeah you're, yeah you know. Yeah, so maybe you could even get him some past radio shows to kind of get it going, because the radio shows are kind of like Jesus 101, right? So maybe some artists that maybe I've interviewed or subjects that he's interested in, you could give him some mm-hmm. of the YouTubes to watch, or you could even show him something radical like my Destroy All Gods Bible study, or, you know, there's just different series that I've done, or Be Great series. You know, these are all online on YouTube through the Gospel of John, of things that will encourage him, empower him, disciple him, just give them a taste for you know, what God's doing. I don't know. I have a new book that came out. I don't know if you got it yet. It's called Kill the Noise. Yeah.
Yep.
So if he's a reader, it's pretty easy read and fast read, but that would also encourage him as well to fall in love with God and see that God is not religious, but he wants a relationship with him. So there's just these different kinds of tools that you could present to them. But I would suggest, you know, forcing someone to do anything always pushes away. So mm-hmm. you have to find, and you know, you need the wisdom, like we were just talking about in Proverbs. You got to get the wisdom of how God wants to, how you kind of communicate with him. And maybe it's just a thing on Sunday. You just watch a video with him from me, if he wants to do that. And it's what's the studies? They're like 35 minutes or 40 minutes online or something. And right. see, just kind of see how that goes. And he'll grow the desire. He'll want more, basically, you know?
Right. And how do I get you guys to come here? Like, for the whosoever's.
Just go ahead and on our social media, you'll see the whosoever's.com. Shoot us an email. It'll go to Lucas. And then basically what we'll do is we'll set it up. I'm supposed to be in Ohio sometime, like right when it starts warming up. I'm going to wait till the snow passes. But I'm going to go out to Ohio. And I know that's kind of in that vicinity. So we will we'll work it out where we can make that a stop out there as well. And we're touring schools too. So I don't know if he goes to school or not, but we're hitting the schools again. And just continuing to just keep it going. But yeah, shoot us an email and connect with us, and we'll keep you in the loop once the winter starts to once we get into spring, and we can come out there. We're actually booked all the way to January right now, anyway. So now is a good time to start booking, spring and February and stuff like that.
So we'll get you a Steeler game the following year.
Yeah,
or maybe
that would be epic.
Have a different quarterback.
I'll bring my terrible towel out. It's on. When I had my triplet daughters, my cousin sent me three uniforms of the Steelers, and they had the beanie, they had the uniform, and then they all had the terrible towel. I don't know if they had the mitts, but yes, it was official. I had all three of them.
Well, here's a quick story. I myself worked in radio. I was a radio salesperson for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And so that's like connected, but you know, into long hairdos and all the nonsense partying, you know.
Yeah.
And like now I've like, well, obviously having a child by myself, I've grown up, but I still went down some wrong paths, and you know, but my point was, I took my son to the Super Bowl, the one we lost against Green Bay, and Snoop Dogg is a huge fan, and I worked at an urban radio station, had a Snoop Dogg doll, and when the Steelers lost, he popped the head off Snoop Dogg doll because he couldn't believe we lost, and we went all the way there, and he was so angry when he was like 9 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll just send you a picture, but it was pretty epic. But I did go to the one in Tampa where we did win. So I've been to a Super Bowl twice.
Email me a picture and that Snoop Dogg. Well, hey, thanks for calling, Heidi.
You guys, keep doing what you're doing. And you've literally, Ryan, you've changed my life. I feel so honored to talk to you. You have no idea. Like, I've been trying for weeks to get through. And thank you so much for this working out tonight.
No worries. I'm going to say a prayer for your son right now, though. Lord Jesus, I just lift up.
His name's Noah.
I just lift. Well, Noah. Noah?
Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Noah. All right. Noah. Lord, I lift up Noah in Jesus' name. Lord, encounter him. Reveal yourself to him. Open his eyes and open his heart to what you want to do in and through him, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. You have a great night. All right, Heidi.
God bless you, Heidi. You know, if there's other families out there that are praying for their kids, maybe they have some, you know, a teenager that's not walking with the Lord, it can be very discouraging, very discouraging. And so I would encourage you guys, if you have children that are not walking with Jesus and you would like them to, that you would pray for them. Pray for them every day. Keep being a good witness. You can keep inviting them, but just keep praying. Keep inviting them to church, inviting them to watch, you know, like she was saying, like Heidi was saying, you know, some YouTube videos. There's a lot of ways you can, you know, introduce them to Jesus. But the most important thing that you can do to change someone's heart is to pray for them. What a cool story.
I want to ask you a question, but I want to give out the number first. I have Garrett Beeler in studio. The number is 888-564-6173. 888-564-6173. Hit us up. We are chilling. We have about 5 minutes left in the studio, so we could take another call. Garrett, what's your opinion on a scenario where people want to invite their kids and they're having problems inviting them. And, you know, it just, you want to be kind of sensitive. Like, you're the mom, you're the dad, you have the authority to invite and make them go to church, but how do you do it so it's not forceful and they're not like in church all like angry?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a tough one, you know, because yeah. I think you laid a good foundation in saying if they live at your home, you know, you pay their bills. They're in, yep. you know, there's certain things that are appropriate for your household.
Right.
Hey, this is the right thing to do. We're going to do the right thing in our family. And that means we commit to go to church because that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. And so you're part of this family. You're coming with us. What gets difficult is as they get older, if they don't have any of that upbringing.
Like this girl.
Yeah. With Heidi and Noah. You know, what can be difficult is that now you're seeing somebody almost as an adult, being in a place where they have nothing like that. And they're like, why do I need to go to church, man? I can stay and sleep in on Sunday morning. And it's not a part of their routine. But we do know that people are more likely to go to church if you invite them. And if you know them, that's the crazy. There's percentages. You know, you got the Harvest Crusade coming up tomorrow night, and they talk about inviting people and all this. You know, it's a cool thing that if you know someone, there is such a higher percentage than them just showing up by themselves if they know someone and someone invites them. So I'd say do what's right for the Lord. Do what's right for your family. They're living in your home. This is what we do as a family. Mm-hmm. And then you gotta take it, you know, case by case, depending on the child and, you know, your relationship with them.
Yeah, you gotta be very sensitive to very that. Sensitive. It's hard. It's you know what? It's a hard spot because, I mean, even looking back at my dad, if you just tuned in, my dad's Raul Reese, and him, you know, they had the rules set up and they weren't like forceful, like, you know, it wasn't all crazy, but they also had that stick to their guns, right? Because that's the rules, because that's the rules of the house. So, but I, you know, even though sometimes I didn't want to go, I'm like, Sunday, I want to go skate with my friends, or I want to go to the beach or whatever. But now that I look back at just going, just being there, even though I wasn't into it, it still created that space of like normalcy for me to go. So then when I gave my life back to God, it's like, everything was there, like, okay, you take the Bible, you're going to go in, there's music, there's worship, the message, and you follow along. Like, everything was there. So when I went back, it was just so easy. I just mm-hmm. got right back into the game, even though I didn't want nothing to do with God my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Then at 32, when I started going to your church, I just fell right in.
Yeah, and the word of God never returns void. Just insert that real quick. If you're planting these seeds of faith in your kids, they'll eventually bring forth fruit. It may be later on down the road. It may be after a time of rebellion or whatever. But even if you don't see the fruit immediately, keep sowing into them, keep investing into them, and the Lord will bring the increase from that.
All right. Well, we have 2 minutes left. Any last words? I know you just kind of said something at the end. Is there anything else you want to encourage people with?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, for me, I've been really reminded, and I feel like the Lord's put it upon my heart to take care of your family. Mm-hmm. Love your wife if you're a husband. Take care of your kids and do the best job that you can with what has been entrusted to you. Be a good steward. And I think that's how we find ourselves as good and faithful servants. Lord entrusts us with something. Do the best job that you can with it. So when your time is up, you say, Lord, I did the best that I could. And he says, well done.
Jesus said, love the Bible says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. He died
for the
church. So when you put that into perspective, and it's hard, you know, because being married and kids, and you could get on each other's nerves. It's not even you, each other. The kids could drive you crazy. So you don't even have beef with each other. You're just like, ah!
Yeah.
But when you put it into perspective and keep striving to be a good guy and to oversee the family, and God will bless you for that.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
God
that's
will,
true.
You know,
and if the Lord puts the right woman in your life, you by the very nature of your relationship, you know, you'll demand each other to be more like Christ, and that's a good thing.
Well, let's just end it there. We have 30 seconds left, so thank you for being on the show, Garrett Beeler. Church tomorrow.
Yes,
don't
sir.
Don't forget to get the book, Kill the Noise book. Get discipled. Build your faith. Come to the movie premiere at Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs. Let's party.
Good night.
Later, man.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday for The Ryan Reese Show.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.